Welcome to Come Heal Yourself with Monica Goyal on Om Times Radio. Monica is a spiritual counselor and healer with a life purpose to put people in touch with their innate healing abilities, empowering them to live a life full of joy, love, peace, and abundance. Through this show, you'll learn to heal every aspect of your life by connecting to your higher self. And now your host, Monica Goyal.
Welcome, friends. Namaste. Come heal yourself. Hope you're having a blissful day wherever you are. I have to say it's been such a pleasure connecting with you. And today we have a very, very special guest, Hollywood celebrity Lisa, who has been working as a stunt girl with Madonna, Meryl Streep, Robert Redford, Katharine Hepburn, so many of them. And she has been a wonderful author for the book called Falling for the Stars. And it's her own tale, and it's already Amazon.com number one bestseller. Let's welcome her. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Monica. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
We are honored. Thank you so much for joining us. Great. So, Lisa, tell us about your journey. What led you to be in stunt business?
Well, you know, Monica, I was a very clumsy child, and I fell down a lot.
I did.
I was just I was so klutzy that everyone just called me Klutz, and they didn't even call me by the name Lisa. And it upset me so badly that I became more clumsy and more klutzy. And I had to go crying to my daddy to ask him to make everybody stop, which he managed to do, which was very sweet. But the arc was, you know, I was a tomboy, and I decided I needed to learn how to fall without hurting myself.
Wow.
And my mother put me in dance lessons to be more graceful, and I loved performing. And but even, you know, like as a kindergarten kid, I remember climbing to the top of the jungle gym and wanting to knock the little boy that was up there off. I was very aggressive, but I had to make sure I had a good audience before I did it, you know.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I was terribly, terribly naughty. And in fact, the kindergarten teacher tried to flunk me from first grade. From kindergarten. And I actually did get suspended for bad behavior in first grade. So this sort of, you know, rambunctious, athletic, uncontrollable physical energy was manifesting at a very early age. Mm-hmm. And, you know, later I was able to channel it into athletics, where I was always the worst on the team, but I stuck to it long enough to become, you know, a winner of most valuable trophies. But as I grew and went more and more into acting and performing, I trended towards the very physical theater. And I didn't like the kind of acting where you were supposed to think of, you know, your dog that died or something like that. And because whenever I thought of those things, it made me cry so much. I gasped and choked and, you know, snot ran down my nose and I couldn't talk. And, it, you know, that's not really what an audience wants to watch. So, you know, I went toward clowning and stage combat and the avant-garde theater. And eventually I wound up in an ensemble avant-garde company in New York, and eventually decided, you know, avant-garde theater was wonderful, but it didn't create any financial, you know, remuneration, and that I wanted to try and make some money. And I became a professional clown and pratfall artist and did a lot of parties and stuff. And at a certain point, I found out that I could do some stand-in work on a movie. And a stand-in, for those who don't know, is a person who stands in the place of the stars while the camera's getting set and the light gets set, and when the scene is ready to shoot, the stand-in steps away and the star steps in and does the scene. So I got hired on a movie to be the stand-in for an actress named Tina Louise, and she was famous for playing Ginger in Gilligan's Island. And she was a tall redhead like I am, and so I got to stand in for her and also photo double. So in that movie, a group of women sort of went through a lot of crazy adventures, and I got to be her in long shots and things like that, but not necessarily stunts, not necessarily something terribly dangerous, just a photo double, which pays a little bit, you know, like $10 a day more than an extra does. And but I also was photo doubling for an actress named Julie Haggerty, and people might know her if they ever saw the movie Airplane, and she was the stewardess who said, "Oh, Ted," and was very, very funny. And her character got kidnapped in this movie and spent about 3 weeks of the shooting time in the backseat of a car. So most of the time that was me instead of her. And there were two people who were the kidnappers. One was the stunt coordinator, and that's the person who hires the stunt people and designs the stunts. It's sort of like the creator and designer of the stunts. And so he was actually playing a character of the kidnapper, and he had a sidekick as another kidnapper who was an unknown actor doing one of his very early jobs named Ed O'Neill. And Ed O'Neill went on to become Al Bundy in Married with Children, and he is on Modern Family. He's one of the stars of Modern Family.
Yeah.
So he became very famous, and of course he's a very funny man, and so we had a lot of laughs in those 3 weeks in the back, you know, me in the back of the car and the coordinator and Ed in the front of the car. But I was so curious about stunts, and I didn't know anything about them, so I asked, you know, I just sort of picked this stunt coordinator's brain and did really some embarrassingly silly things during the shoot to try to impress him with my gymnastic skills and my athletic ability. And I gathered a group of children who were watching one of the scenes when we were at a neighborhood in upstate New York, and I led gymnastic class with them so he could see me doing all these things. And actually, it worked. So at the end of the movie, he hired me to do a stunt job where I was hanging off the door of a garbage truck in a chase scene with a police car and a limousine and the garbage truck running through New York City. And that was my first job, and sort of one thing led to the next.
Wow. You know, it kind of makes sense, like kind of sensitive person you are, that you didn't want to do the regular acting, you know, because it was just too much for you, but something that helps you release physically and express that, it totally makes sense.
Yes, yes. And I actually was hoping that doing the stunts would help me get more acting jobs. And just 1 month after I did that first stunt, I found a brand new, for me, it was brand new, a whole new acting technique that used my imagination. It believes in the higher self, and it uses movement and movement with your imagination to connect with your higher self. And I fell in love with that acting technique, and it made me a much better stunt player and a much better actress. And you know, I became really dedicated to to that, and you know, was hoping the stunts would give me more acting parts. And in the beginning, it did. But that stunt coordinator that first hired me, he warned me that if I was first and foremost an actress, that I should only stay in stunts about 5 years, mm-hmm. because if I stay longer, it would start to trap me, and they would sort of typecast me. And he was right. It took me like 5 years to really gain a lot of credibility and to get, you know, the more interesting and more challenging jobs. And then I was sort of seduced with the, you know, the lure of working with so many amazing, famous people and doing such crazy, fun, and dangerous things. And so, you know, I did stay past the point, and I did get sort of typecast, and it did start to limit, you know, my acting opportunities. So I had to learn my lesson later the hard way.
No, but I mean, what's interesting is that even I'm sure, you know, this is so scary that something like connecting with higher self, you know, really helped you. That technique must have helped you overcome that fear that came with these stunts you did.
Yes, it absolutely did. And through that connection with the higher self and that acting technique, which is Michael Chekhov's acting technique, it helped me find ways to calm fears. And that's one of the things I do now, is I work with people to help them manage fear and fright. Either it could be speakers and, you know, people performing, or just people who have high levels of anxiety in life as a life coach. So I learned so much, and you know, really got to test how to manage anxiety and fear.
Wow. You know, I think, you know, nothing is by coincidence. Lisa. And we will talk more once we are back after a short break, so stay tuned.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Have you been searching for a perspective beyond the mainstream? Check it out. Join your hosts, Yelito Pascual and Diana Gold Holland, on Share International Radio for thought-provoking views behind the news. Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio. You can also find us at shareontheairradio.org. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for.
Hey, Russell Wilson here, and I know how important exercise is.
It's essential. It's essential.
With Play 60, United Way and the NFL are helping kids stay active and play at least 60 minutes a day.
Healthy kids, healthy kids.
But what this place needs is you. To donate or volunteer, go to unitedway.org/play60, because great things happen when we live united.
Donate, donate.
Are you guys going to do that every time?
Yes, of course. Yes, of course.
Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
We are back. Welcome back, friends. And we were talking about the technique about connecting with higher self while Lisa was performing those stunts. So, Lisa, it must have still been scary sometimes, right?
Yes, absolutely. I think the scariest thing that I did was I had to leap from a six-story rooftop across an alley to another rooftop. And
oh, my God.
Yeah. That was really scary. I, you know, standing on the edge of the building looking down six stories, and the alley was too small to put up an airbag, and normally an airbag is what one would fall into from six stories. And so they had one of those round trampolines that, you know, like firemen. I think these days you kind of see them more in cartoons. And, you know, I'm like, if I leap, try to leap this, and if I don't make it, I'm going to sort of ricochet off this brick wall. And I can picture myself sort of bouncing back and forth and them sort of running around trying to figure out, where am I going to land? And so it was, I had quite a bit of adrenaline pumping in that case. And of course I, you know, the one of the key steps to managing fear is strong preparation. And so I had spent all week practicing in the gymnasium my long jumps and making sure that I had the clearance to make it. And then, you know, when the adrenaline started pumping, I recognize, I see the beauty of the adrenaline, that it's not a bad thing. It's actually divine gift that's going to, you know, help me have more strength, more power.
Yeah.
And I took off and I kind of sailed over it, cleared it without a problem. But I did have to look back, and I, well, on one hand, I kind of felt like Superman. And on the other hand, I was still kind of shaking, going, oh my gosh, I did it.
I mean, Lisa, talk about the price you paid psychologically, emotionally, and physically for this career.
Well, several things. One was, as I mentioned earlier, that it did stunt my acting career, because people started thinking of me only as someone who could, you know, maybe do, you know, three lines and bang, bang, she's dead, or she goes through a plate glass window, and not take me seriously as an actress. During the whole time, I was doing stage acting and also entertaining at these events. And the entertaining at the events and the stunts were making me a lot of money, and then I was spending the money on things like my acting lessons, my singing lessons, and on producing plays for myself to act in. And so that was one thing that at a certain point I just had to take all the experience I had as a stunt person and remove it from my resume and change my name and create a whole nother sort of persona, just who was just an actress. And and then the other thing was, I knew my higher self kept telling me that I wasn't supposed to keep doing the stunts, that I was supposed to focus on the acting, and I had started teaching the acting as well, and that I was really supposed to focus on that. And but I was so caught up in the ego of being, you know, a top stunt woman and working with all these famous, fun, cool people and everything else, that I just kept trying to stop, and I kept getting too scared to let go of the income. And I finally decided to stop, and I quit for 6 months, and then I agreed to do another job. And that, on that job, I sustained an injury that wound up awarding me a you know, a handicap hang tag and 46% permanent loss of use of my back.
Wow.
So, and I did that, you know, for $431. You know, it's, and a, you know, a lifetime of chronic pain, of the periods of paralysis. I was unable to you know, walk, sit, or stand in any position for more than 5 minutes without being in excruciating pain.
Wow.
And it was very interesting because I was rappelling off a cliff and the rope slipped off where it was anchored, and I crashed, took about, the rope slipped about 25 feet, and I crashed into two sides of the cliff. And as I was trying, is ricocheting back and forth like a pendulum into the rocks, I said right then to myself, this is going to be the most spiritual gift you'll ever give yourself.
Oh my God.
And yeah, I knew because my higher self had been telling me, don't do this, don't do this. And
I
just was like, okay, I've made it so that I can't do this, you know?
So you believe the universe tries to give us clues?
Oh, very much so. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, the clues were all over. I mean, stunts are very dangerous. I had three stunt friends who were killed on three different projects 4 months apart, approximately 2 years earlier, and, you know, and I was getting big messages, don't do this, it's not for you.
No.
And
that's so
And I kept doing it.
But why?
Because I was scared. I was scared that I wouldn't make any money. I was scared that I was, you know, really seduced by sort of having an identity as sort of Superman, I wasn't Superwoman. I was a female Superman, you know. I kind of, you know, back from the days of the jungle gym and, you know, 4 and 5 years old, I was already focused on not letting my gender limit my ability to exceed, you know, human limitations.
Yeah.
You know, so I was really trying to defy really being in a physical body. I just wanted to, I wanted to be able to do whatever I believed I could do.
Yeah.
And, you know, most of the time when I was, you know, pretty lousy at it when I started, and then I got really good. And so I believed that I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, really it was fear of lack. It was fear of loss of identity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't have the faith that I could make it as an actress. And the interesting thing was I did after, you know, even after I was so badly injured, I still, despite the injury, managed to make a living as an actress. Mostly in Los Angeles in commercials, and did a lot of independent film, but you know, did parts in smaller parts in TV shows and things like that. But I really fell in love with the acting teaching, and I ran an acting studio, the Michael Chekhov Studio in Los Angeles for 18 years. So, you know, I managed to make a living as an actress, and I had to believe in that. And it wasn't until I injured myself that I really became a believer in myself as an actress.
Mm. Yeah. Wow.
And what I had to learn all these alternative healing techniques because the medical community wasn't able to help me, and the things that I learned, you know, I was a fortunate time to be in Los Angeles. It was a time when Deepak Chopra was just getting known. I mean, you could go to, you could take a UCLA extension class and be one of 50 people in listening to this doctor that nobody knew yet. And, you know, Doreen Virtue and all these people who, you know, that were just getting their start. Lisa Gar from the Aware Show was, you know, just launching her show and introducing so many of these people to the world. And I was a faithful listener to the radio of these kinds of shows, and I learned a tremendous amount, went to many, many workshops and certifications, and I discovered sort of the quantum physics, metaphysics, athletic, scientific reason that Michael Chekhov's acting technique was so powerful and amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And that led me, I got to teach, you know, Chekhov's work in Moscow and in London and Paris and Berlin and, you know, all over the United States. And so, you know, I don't think I would be the teacher that I am today. I don't think I'd be the coach that I am today if I hadn't sustained the injury, because it was a, you know, a strong guidepost for me.
Yeah. Seems like, you know, because you were not really, you know, universe's gentle nudges were not really helping. And so it seems like it was kind of important, you know, to get you out of it, to get some injury at a physical level, because, you know, at a spiritual level, we are so complete and whole. No one can really hurt us. So.
Right.
Wow. You know, great example of how it's so important to listen to that inner voice that's guiding you.
Absolutely, Monica. This part of my mission is to help people listen, you know, recognize the little pebbles in your pathway, the little hints, the raindrops or whatever, instead of having to crash into a cliff like I did, you know?
Yeah.
To be more sensitive and responsive to the messages coming.
But, I mean, do you regret any of that, what happened and how your life was?
You know, I don't, because I see the divine process. I mean, there are many, many challenging events that I experienced before that and after and currently. And I really feel blessed to recognize that I've been given so much information and so many gifts to cope with them. And every single thing that I do experience, I turn around and teach others.
That's so wonderful. And we will take just a very short break here. And we will be back. Please stay.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hi, this is Julie Geigel.
And I'm Susan Schuler.
And I'm Carrie Ann Larson.
And we are
the Psychic Angel Channelers
from Angel Talk Tuesday.
Tune in every week at 10 a.m. Eastern on OmTimesRadio.com.
The angels have heard your call and are here to help.
Are you ready to receive?
Bathe in a beautiful vibrational frequency to help you heal, expand, and remember your magnificence with Angel Talk Tuesday.
I'm a retired school psychologist, and helping people was my thing. After my stroke, when Meals on Wheels started, I was on the other end of the stick, so to speak. My name is Julius Gaines, creative writer, poet, photographer.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLetsDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
And we are back. Welcome back, everyone. So we were talking about how universe nudges us and, you know, do what we are supposed to do, and the learning that Lisa got from her experiences. Welcome back, Lisa.
Yes. We were talking about whether I had any regrets. And, not only did I learn so much, but I really had some amazing experiences with the wonderful people that I worked with on the film sets and getting to participate in so many big, you know, movies like Splash and Ghostbusters and Highlander, Crocodile Dundee, FX, you know, Money Pit, Married to the Mob, all these wonderful movies. And especially I got to do a Motown cult film called Berry Gordy's The Last Dragon. And that movie, some 30 years ago, where I played a very nasty, nasty martial art gang member. I was the token white girl in a black gang member, black gang from Harlem. And the movie, you know, it's like a musical martial arts Karate Kid meets Motown. And that movie has such a beautiful message in it about finding the glow. And to me, that movie is about finding your higher self and your inner power. And in the fall of 2014, I was invited to New York for the 30th anniversary movie screening of it and the fan expo. And people came from all over this country and Canada of every color, age, and ethnicity to meet the stars. And there were over 400 people in the standing room only theater on in Times Square. And they played the movie. And it was they knew, the whole audience knew every line and every lyric of every song. And they had the cosplay, you know, players acting it out in their outfits. And people came up to me who, you know, I had about five lines or something, and I was really nasty and evil. And they would come up to me, female, male, different ages, and tell me how much stronger they were as people for seeing this, for my role in it, for seeing the whole story and finding that glow in themselves and the power. And when you get to be a part of a story that is told, and for these people, they replay it for their children, and it's a ritual, it transforms their lives. And that's really, for me, the truth about the spiritual role of entertainment. It's why actors and it's the shamanic part of uniting the tribe, why it's carved in the cave walls, you know. So, getting to be part of that and films that have inspired people like that is so rich and rewarding that it sort of wipes out all the difficulties and challenges, many of which are described in my book.
It's a beautiful book.
Thank you.
So tell us about your life now, Lisa.
I am. Go ahead.
No, I know that you have been going around and teaching the techniques, and I know, like, you are a spiritual teacher now.
Yes.
But tell us, exactly what it has been like and how you feel about it and how it has changed you.
I now am focusing. I have a one-woman show that I created, and one of my favorite things to do is to go to a university or to a theater and perform the show and do workshops in this approach to finding your higher self and allowing it to reveal your creativity. For amateurs, we do, work with doctors and coaches as well as actors, directors, designers, etc. And I especially love mentoring teachers. So I have about 30 or 40 teachers around the world who I am helping to learn how to, you know, coaching them to teach this work. So they are reaching thousands of students on a daily basis and helping students become happier, healthier human beings. And that's incredibly rewarding. But my average day is sort of really, it's really my own. I have an adorable little Shih Tzu puppy named Tibby Tibet. And he's a calming and inspiring companion. And I still ride my motorcycle. I have a BMW motorcycle. And Tibby rides on my lap on the motorcycle. And I work with an organization called the Live Theater League in Fort Worth, Texas, and I work on the I'm on the SAG-AFTRA. There's the unions for the performers on the board of directors of the Dallas-Fort Worth local. So you know, I do a lot of volunteer service and you know, mentoring people in their nonprofit organizations. And so I love that part. And I have an amazing community in my neighborhood, and I have an amazing family, two brothers, two sisters, and my mom. And so we're all a very close family, although we're spread out across the United States. And as we speak, I'm actually in the San Francisco area because my younger sister is very ill. And so I'm caregiving for her. And thank you, Monica. It's she was diagnosed almost a month ago with acute myeloid leukemia. So it's, you know, it's an interesting process now to sort of hold the space for her as, you know, she goes through her process, and we don't, of course, know how it's going to conclude. And since she's a very powerful spiritual woman, and so, you know, we work together with this, and so that's interesting. And she wants me to keep working on my writing, which I'm doing, well, working on my next book, which I expect to come out in February. So I'm keeping pretty busy.
Congratulations. And we definitely, you know, wish a lot of peace and healing and a lot of prayers sending to your sister and the whole family as you, you know, are together with her. I can totally understand how it can be for you, but being the spiritual person you are and she is, I'm sure, you know, the strength is coming, and you're, you know, the truth of the situation.
It has been so inspiring to hear, know their prayers, and coming from all over the world, from all different faiths. And one of her, she's a dancer, so one of her things is to, you know, show support by random acts of dancing to make people enjoy themselves. So,
I think it's a family of givers, so, you know, stay so close to each other, and, you know, it always strengthens and helps when families are together.
Yes. You know, one of the things that that we do that has helped us be together is every Tuesday we meet online. We do a Google Hangout. So we have, you know, one person from Southern California, one from Northern California, me in Texas, and two on the East Coast. And we have breakfast and brunch and lunch together online with my mother, and we share, you know, an hour, 1 or 2 hours, each week, and we just take turns going around. How can we help you? What do you need help with? And it's so beautiful to be able to experience the family and to stay in touch like that, even though we're so far apart. So, I encourage, encourage all the listeners to consider creating family time using our incredible technology to keep, and build and rebuild families.
Right now with this technology, great technology, distance shouldn't matter, you know. It's like amazing what you have created, very inspiring. I think it's a great way of, you know, being connected with the family, even though you are far from each other, and be there for each other. It makes a huge difference.
Yes, it does. Yeah. Absolutely, it
Thank
does.
You so much for sharing.
You're
and
welcome.
I also want to share with our audience about Lisa's book, Falling for the Stars, that's available on Amazon.com. And then also the acting classes that you are teaching.
Still. Yes, yes. And my website, lisadalton.com. And it's got all sorts of fun things. You can sign up, get some free chapters. There's a raffle copter giveaway, and there's a free MP3 file that talks about using the acting techniques for your own self-development. And there's information about my upcoming workshop that's going to be at the University of Florida, December 27th to January 2nd. We have just a few spaces open. So there's lots of fun stuff on there, lots of pictures and videos.
You're giving us so that's great. And we will take just a short break here and be right back. Please stay.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking.
You are the inspired and the inspiration.
What if we got rewarded for every good decision?
Dinner. Meal needs a vegetable. Check.
Amazing!
Vegetables cooked with a healthier oil instead of butter?
Fantastic!
Replacing bad fats with healthier fats, like those in canola or vegetable oil, is good for your heart. Take up the challenge for good health, because the you of the future will say,
fantastic!
Visit heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info proudly supports the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Everyone, and we were talking about what all Lisa is offering for all of us and how we can reach her. She also offers private sessions, so I would really encourage everyone to take advantage of it. We are very, very grateful to Lisa. And Lisa, we would like to know, why did you write this book?
You know, through my life, I've had the opportunity, as I mentioned, to do charity work, and part of what I did was I played in a lot of celebrity golf tournaments to raise funds for different causes, for Make-A-Wish or for Abused Children's Center, Barbara Sinatra's mm-hmm. Abused Children's Center, and Alice Cooper's Youth Rock Center. And I realized that wherever I went, I could entertain people with my stories as a stunt woman and, mm-hmm. you know, sharing with them what the stars were like and what was going on behind yeah. the scenes. And there were a couple of things. I mean, when so many people, a lot of people are afraid of stars and or they have unrealistic expectations.
Right.
And I really wanted it in for one thing, I had surgery 2 years ago, and my back surgery actually allowed me to sit long enough to write. So I'd been verbally telling the stories, but now I could actually sit down and write. And so that was an amazing opportunity for me. And I realized that as I was writing the book, that I really wanted people to know that the stars are, they're just people too, and they do things you might not understand. You might not know why they behave the way they do, and or that certain people are not at all the way they are projected. And so many of them are, you know, just so much kinder and nicer and considerate and, you know, went out of their way mm-hmm. to support me,
yeah.
especially like, you know, Meryl Streep and Cher and Robert Redford. All three of them were just amazing. And so I wanted people to sort of get to know the humanity behind the stars. And I also wanted
right.
them to realize how hard the world of stunts is. I mean, when you look mm-hmm. at so many movies, everything that's in the trailer is stunts. And
yeah.
the big, exciting action stuff are stunts. And yet there isn't even
right.
a stunt. There's no Oscar for stunts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and stunt players frequently aren't even listed. I mean, many, especially women in my day, we didn't get listed in the
wow.
credits. And IMDb makes it very difficult for us to get film credit for jobs that we did because
well,
we
funny.
Were not listed in the original movie. And so, you know, there was a lot of misogyny, and there was a lot of unsafe practices, and there were, you know, like I said, people died trying to make movies
yeah.
for people. And so I think stunt people, you know, deserve more respect. And
mm-hmm.
I think when it, plus the book is kind of unusual. It's like a lot of short stories about all these different movies I did and the people I worked with. But there's sort of poetry in there, and there's a crossword puzzle because my mom loves crossword puzzles. So I made a crossword.
Right.
That you have to, you know, read the book and find the clues in the book.
Yes.
And my dad was sort of an English major dictionary guy, so I made Dalton's dictionary with, well, they're real, but they're kind of funny definitions in some places or very opinionated definitions
mm-hmm.
of the terminology from film sets. So the book is a little different in that way, and I feel, you know, excited about that. And there's over 40 pictures in it of various me with movie stars and me on movie sets. And so people get to, you know, get a little visual. And that's also, I have a little video if somebody, you know, emails me at lisa@lisadalton.com. I can send them a link to the little video of the pictures in color. And, you know. So I had a lot of fun with it, and it actually, the whole writing process, I was inspired by a writing mentor named Tom Bird, and he believes that we should write from God, that we write from our higher self, and that the book already exists in our higher self. And if we go into meditation and tune into it, that we can sort of download the book, like we all have our own personal iCloud of inspiration. And the first book I actually wrote was the one that's coming out in February called Murder of Talent, How Pop Culture's mm-hmm. Killing It. And
yeah.
And I wrote that in one weekend, and I got finished early. And so he said, okay, you start your second book. And I was like, I don't know what that is. And then he said, just start writing. And Falling for the Stars fell out of me. So it was,
wow.
It turned out that Tom Bird's approach is pretty much the same as my acting approach, that, you know, there's a higher self, the characters live up there, the stories live up there, and you just train mm-hmm. yourself to allow them to come through you. And in this case, onto a page as opposed to onto a stage. I allowed my higher self to write for me, and then I stepped back and looked at it and said, oh, this is what it is. You know, it's kind of a Falling for the Stars, a Stunt Gal's Tattletales, is in part the story of how I was very frightened and driven by fear. I was afraid I wasn't a good enough mm-hmm. actress. I was afraid I wouldn't get anywhere. And so I went and did crazy things, and I rose to the top of the wrong field, and then I, you know, crashed into the cliff, and I found my true calling. And
wow.
Now I can write about it.
That's so awesome. What is your message to our listeners?
I think my most meaningful message that sort of seems to recur through my life is about accepting who you are as perfect. You know, when I realized I was terribly clumsy and I was so mm-hmm. upset by it, then I finally said, you know what, I'm just going to make a career out of it. And I expanded it. And do you know what, Monica? When I eat, I wear a bib.
Yeah.
I wear a bib because I know I'm a mess. And all of my clothing used to have stains on, you know, on the mm-hmm. chest. And I was like, you know what? I need a bib. I'm coming into the world wearing a bib. I'm going out wearing a bib.
Yeah.
The only reason I don't wear a bib to keep my clothing protected is because of ego fear of looking silly.
I know.
You know, and I realized that I look awful silly walking around with clothes stained, and I'm not rich enough to be able to throw out my clothes every day and buy new ones. And so I wear a bib, and, you know, I wear it in restaurants. I carry it with me, and, you know, people have a lot of fun with it. And it's great because people stop and talk to me and go, my goodness, you're wearing a bib. And I was like, yes, look at all the stains on my bib. They would be on my clothes, but my clothes look great. So, you know, it's kind of turning lemons into lemonade or sour grapes mm-hmm. into fine wine. You know, it's just like fall in love with who you are, love yourself, and enjoy who you are, because it can lead you to your highest truth.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful message and so important to hear for so many of us, in fact, all of us, because we do get into this insecurity and, you know, what people will say, what people will think about my weakness. This is awkward. I'm not the way I should be. That just goes on all
yes.
the time. And it's so beautiful. I so respect you for sharing, and, you know, really grateful to you, Lisa, for sharing your true self and giving us such an important message.
Thank you, Monica. It's really been great chatting with you.
Yeah, now I totally relate with you. And once again, we are so grateful for you to come to our show, and we will definitely look forward to your new book in February. My best wishes to you for that. And congratulations once again on who you have become and what you have shared and your honesty and your connection. We are so grateful, and I really wish a very, very, very speedy recovery and peace and for your sister, and all the best to your family. Thanks so much again.
Thank you, Monica. Many blessings to you.
Thank you. Namaste.
Namaste.
Dear listeners, we will meet again in future. I wish you all the best. My best wishes to you always. Have a wonderful, blissful life, and keep healing yourself and keep accepting and loving yourself. Lot of love and blessings to you. Namaste.